talking about trash? No. Where do you put dump the trash?
Но ты ничего не трогай, пока не объяснишься.
No, police, man, police. See, trash.
Вы все одинаковые.
See, where do you dump the trash?
No,
the trash. Where do you put the trash?
Да.
I found it.
Those were the days when television detectives like Columbo were resourceful enough to sift through waste paper baskets, hunting for evidence that could tie a suspect to a dastardly crime. A matchbook with a scribbled address, a tissue blotted with lipstick, maybe even discarded food with traces of poison. Columbo knew that trash was investigative treasure. Well, I'm not going to waste any more time getting to the point, because it turns out waste can in fact provide important evidence, not just on television, but in real life. And not just the waste in our garbage cans, but also in our plumbing. Our digestive systems produce organic evidence. And I feel like it's my duty to tell you all about the science of sewage surveillance. Joining us to talk about sewage surveillance is Nusha Gailey, president and co-founder of BioBot Analytics. Welcome to The Takeaway, Nusha.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So what is sewage surveillance?
Yeah, so sewage surveillance, or otherwise called wastewater monitoring or wastewater epidemiology, is the science of looking at sewage as a source of information on human health and human behavior. So if you think about it, our doctors look at our urine and stool all the time to understand our health, what's going on in our bodies, what foods we've eaten. And every day you're flushing this information down the toilet, where it's aggregating in our city sewers and mixing with sewage from thousands of other people and flowing to the wastewater treatment plant. Wastewater monitoring collects samples from the wastewater treatment plant to be able to understand the health of the entire city in a single sample.
Okay, so when you say it as wastewater epidemiology, it sounds sort of much more public health oriented and much less scary, I guess, in a certain way than sewage surveillance. And by scary here, I guess I mean, you know, we've talked a lot about digital metadata, but this is, I guess, in a certain way, organic metadata. And I'm wondering if there are concerns about how this data might be used.
Yeah, so the beauty of wastewater monitoring is that it is inclusive of everybody who lives in a city, and yet there is no way to understand whether a virus or something that you're detecting is coming from a specific person. So in that way, it's an extremely sort of privacy-protected way to look at health data, which otherwise has names and individual information associated to it.
What are some of the ways that this kind of water epidemiology has been used successfully in the past?
Yeah, so most recently, wastewater monitoring has been implemented across the United States and around the world to monitor and understand trends of the COVID-19 pandemic. It has demonstrated to be extremely valuable for public health agencies and city leaders, government officials to look to wastewater as a leading indicator of new disease incidence or prevalence. And part of this is because we actually shed the virus days before we are symptomatic and actually become sick. So we can detect it earlier via sewage, but also because inherent delays in our testing system. So think about it, if you go and want to get a COVID PCR test, sometimes it's not available. It might take multiple days by the time you get your results back. So sewage has really demonstrated to be this leading indicator for new disease.
I want to go back to the point that it tells us about everyone, but not about anyone in particular. So how does knowing, for example, that a neighborhood or a community is shedding a higher rate of COVID at any given moment, how does that help in controlling or managing the outbreaks?
Yeah, so one of the favorite examples that I like to use is actually not an action that was taken by a government agency or a public health department, but rather in Boston, the Boston Children's Hospital was monitoring the local wastewater from the wastewater treatment plant that represents the greater Boston area. And in December 2021, wastewater started showing a significant rise in SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19. Within a week or so, that became known as, you know, the Omicron wave that we all just experienced. But the hospital actually postponed all non-emergency procedures for January and February of 2022, because they knew that wastewater would be leading new cases, which would then be leading hospitalizations. And so that right there is an example of this data being used to make a very operational, very real-time decision in order to improve sort of processes.
Now, what are some of the limitations? I love this example that you've used where it's not a government-based decision. It's a public health community-based decision and it makes perfect sense to me. I also wonder, is it possible to get it wrong? What if they had suspended those non-emergent surgeries and in fact, Omicron hadn't sort of come through the community in that way?
Similar to, let's say, weather data, we see wastewater data as a sort of weather map of our health. So very sort of situational awareness sort of information that can help guide not only the response from public health agencies, but also local business leaders, but also all the way down to individuals. We can actually look at this information on a daily basis to help guide our behavior and our exposure within our community, whether we're going to ride public transportation or not, whether we're going to go to that party this weekend. And so similar to that, you know, wastewater data is never going to give us diagnostic information on a community similar to clinical testing. If we see the wastewater virus concentration increasing, that's not going to fill the gap for having access to adequate clinical testing infrastructures. It can help us guide knowing when to increase clinical testing so that people can be diagnosed and therefore seek out treatment, because it's never going to do that, you know, second more individual part of diagnosing someone to help them therefore go and get treatment.
Now, you're actually in this game as a business, right? You actually are part mm-hmm. of the business of this. In what ways is this a business? How can one be a wastewater surveillance entrepreneur?
Yeah, so BioBot is based on research that my co-founder, Dr. Mariana Matus, and I were doing while we were at MIT. So we started this research in 2014. And after about a few years, we decided to start BioBot to really bring this technology to market. We felt that, you know, the technology and we would have a much bigger impact if this were a business where we could work directly with cities, county, state government in order to actually leverage this technology for the things that they cared about. And so our customers today are government, the majority of them are government, and they range anywhere from small local municipalities as small as just, you know, 20, 30,000 people, all the way up to very large cities like the Boston area I just used as an example. We work with counties, we work with state government agencies. So we're very much focused on working with government.
Are there ways that either individuals or households, communities be thinking about this technology and its effect on our lives? Are there questions we should be asking to ensure that it is being used in ways that are ethical and privacy protecting?
Yeah, so, you know, as with any sort of public health issue, whether it's COVID-19 or something else, any sort of public health matter, we need to look at multiple data sets in order to actually understand what is going on in our community and design an appropriate response. And so when we are looking at multiple data sets, what ends up happening is that if one data set is biased in a certain way, we then rely on the other data sets to help counter those biases. So one thing that we always say at BioBot is we should never look at the wastewater data in isolation to make public health decisions, but rather it should be a complement to clinical testing, to hospitalizations, to other data that we're looking at as another source of truth. You know, one of the things that wastewater, for example, complements clinical testing with is that it is not biased towards only the individuals who are accessing clinical care in a city. Wastewater is inclusive of everybody who uses the toilet, not just people who have health insurance, who might have a propensity to go to the doctors. And so it brings, it sort of counters that bias that clinical testing has.
I'm so glad. I told you we were excited about this conversation. I'm so excited about this. Nusha Gailey is president and co-founder of BioBot Analytics. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.